Okay, our last speaker before a quick 10-minute break. Using infrared thermography to estimate plant water use, Jay Forrell and Kreiser. Presenting is Joe Forrell.
Well, thanks everyone for coming. I'm Joe Forrell, and this is my master's thesis. So we know a common goal in turf is to reduce water use, particularly in high-maintenance situations such as a golf course where soil moisture will affect playing conditions. Transpiration is the plant using water to cool itself, and if we can sense this, we can improve irrigation scheduling. So looking at the leaf energy balance, we're focused on how the relationship between transpiration and the latent heat flux. So as the plant's transpiring, it's keeping itself in balance with the net radiation, which is mostly solar radiation. So the plant is cooling itself to balance the solar radiation. Looking at prior research, Tanner proposed infrared thermometry to quantify water stress. Jackson then creates a stress index based on the energy balance of the plant canopy, and that's the crop water stress index, CWSI. Blomquist used infrared radiometers to determine plant stress via stomatal conductance, which is a direct measure of transpiration. And Bengal uses a FLIR camera to estimate water use in a crop. So the instrument we used in this study is the Hawkeye system from TurfView. It is a FLIR camera, or forward-looking infrared camera. So the system has two cameras, the thermal camera, that's the FLIR camera, and the visual camera, and they record images on a set interval. We used 10 minutes. And this system was developed by Jim Itro of Itrocorp. Jim's a retired Navy meteorologist. So in addition to collecting the images, we also store weather data onto the cloud so we can go onto the TurfView website and download and analyze the continuous data. So a research question that we're trying to answer is, can we measure turf grass water use through thermal imaging? And is there a correlation between canopy temperature and estimated crop coefficient? So we have a number of objectives. For the sake of time, we'll focus on the first two today. To quantify the variation in canopy temperature under different weather conditions, and then to evaluate the use of the TurfView stress index, which I'll elaborate more on. So our site was a one-year-old stand of creeping bent grass maintained as a typical putting green in Lincoln, Nebraska. We had an 85-15 sand peat mix as well, and we withheld overhead irrigation but did allow for natural precipitation. Our design was a randomized complete block design, three replications of four treatments, and our treatments were three water replacement treatments based on measured ET at P0 and 100% replacement. And then the TurfView stress index that I mentioned is a modified version of the crop water stress index that uses the mean canopy temperature in relation to a high and low stress reference. And the scheduling on the stress index was, once it reached a certain threshold, we would apply a certain amount of water. So how we measured the, we calculated our measured ET is we had a lysimeter in the middle of each plot. That extended the full depth of the soil profile, and this allowed us to calculate weights on different days, and our differences would be our measured ET, and then we could also see how much water we lost to leaching into the catch can, and we measured how much we applied by using a flow meter attached to a hose. We had two periods of data collection. In the first one, we started off with a few rain events that prevented any development of drought. We did eventually reach the drought we were looking for, and our plots were pretty stressed, so we decided to let them heal back up and resume data collection after a month. In that second period, we didn't reach the drought stress before we received significant rain. So I mentioned the data we collected from the TurfView system with the images. So within these images, we're collecting visual hue data, plot canopy temperature data, and the calculated stress index data. And on this lower image here, you can see the polygons outlining each plot. So the data was collected as an average over those plot areas. The weather station also loaded onto the Hawkeye system, and we had soil probes collecting hourly averages. So here's an overview of kind of the setup. So you see the TurfView system up here on this power line, looking down at the plots here. So this is a plot map, and this is from the thermal image that that we get to see. So I'll highlight the temperature scale on the side, as well as our drought treatments are these dashed lines here, here, and here. And our full irrigation treatments were the solid line here, here, and here. And those are where we'll see our greatest differences between those two treatments. So here we're looking at the canopy temperature over a three-day stretch in that first data collection period. So when we start off, this is immediately following a rain event. We have all four treatments are kind of within that line, so there's very little variation in canopy temperature. Soil moisture is equal across all the plots, so they're all transpiring equally, so we see no differences as we have a slight dry down just over these 3 days. We'll look at some of the weather data. So we see our canopy temperatures more closely associated with the solar radiation. That's this dashed line here at the bottom. And the air temperature is the dotted line. That's slightly delayed from the solar radiation and the air temperature. So our plots are cooling down quicker at night and heating up more quickly during the day. And the variations you see at the mid-afternoon are due to the wind blowing across the plots and affecting the canopy temperature. So this is an image from that three-day period. I mentioned the equal soil moisture. Plants are fully transpiring. So we see only small differences in canopy temperature. The only ones that appear any different in this image are the fully irrigated treatments. This is an image from a more stressed period for comparison. So we see our drought treatments are the hot spots in the image. They really stand out versus the irrigated treatments. And this is from July 24th. This was the first day of visible drought stress. So you can see the plots looking a little bit dry there. So this is the three-day canopy temperatures from that stress period leading up to the drought, the picture that we just saw. So we start off, we have small variations, and we're continuing to see dry down. And right about here, we're at 7% volumetric water content. We see wilting at 6%. And so as we dry down a little bit more, we're seeing the 0% replacement temperatures cool down more at night. And then at the day, they're slightly warmer. And with more dry down, we're seeing a large variation. And then that third day, we're at full wilting point, and there's about a 5% difference in the canopy temperature of the 0% versus the 100%. So this is a relative canopy temperature over the entire first collection period. I mentioned the frequent rain events, these blue lines, preventing any dry down. We're starting to see a little bit of dry down, and so you see the red line jump up a little bit. Right in front of the gray box, but then we received a rain event that reset the soil moisture, and so that box is the first three-day period we looked at. Then we had about 2 weeks without any precipitation where we got the dry down we were looking for, and the second three-day period is the other gray box, and you can see how the canopy temperature spikes at full wilt on July 24th. With that rain event, we saw the soil motion, and that cools down the canopy temperature. And then as soon as that moisture evaporated, we see the canopy temperatures return to the stressed readings. And so that was at the maximum canopy temperatures. So those were mid-afternoon readings when the plots were the hottest. These are minimum. So we see the similar trend, but in the opposite direction. So rather than the plots being warmer, they're cooler. And this is an image of the non-irrigated plots being slightly warmer than the irrigated. So we see the differences, not as extreme as the daytime differences, though. So looking at visual hue, again, a similar trend to the canopy temperatures, a little variation under low stress conditions. As we approach the stress, we see a drop in the visual hue, and that is a shift towards the yellow portion of the spectrum. And then at full wilt, we see a shift towards the blue portion of the spectrum, again, resembling the canopy temperatures. Looking at the turf use stress index, this chart shows the total amount of water applied. I'll just highlight the blue line on the bottom is the water applied in the stress index, significantly less than the 50% replacement. And these are the stress index values that we were seeing. So again, these are the same three-day periods that we evaluated earlier. We see small variations under low stress conditions, and then you can see the red line is the 0% replacement, and they go colder at night and warmer during the day, and a significant difference at after full wilting. As I mentioned, run two, we didn't see the dry down, so the differences were minimal. We did see a little bit, but then we received a rain event, and that ended our data collection. So to conclude, the canopy temperature shows early signs of drought stress, as well as the stress index was responsive to that. And the irrigation by the turkey stress index performed well, but more research will be needed to make any definite claims. Next year, I'll return with evaluating the changes in the crop coefficient through the dry down period, as well as working towards modeling weather conditions to predict water use. I'd like to thank Jim Mitro and Intercorp, USGA, University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Nebraska Turf Association for funding, and Dr. Soldat for lending us the lysimeters. Any questions?
We have time for a couple minutes of questions.
Yeah, I would say within a degree. I guess I'd have to ask Jim to get exactly the air measurements in that, but pretty accurate.
So along those lines, did you do any other measurements other than
So we were measuring the measured ET with the lysimeters. We had TDR probes in each plot, so we had volumetric water content, electroconductivity, and temperature. And so those will be things that I'll have more to present on next year. Like temperature measurements? No, we did not. So the question was about the difference between the 0 and 100% versus the 50 and the 100%. Yeah, so the 50 and the 100% performed very similarly. The quality was the same throughout the study. The water content was about the full replacement was around high teens, and the 50% was mid to low teens, but no visual signs of stress. Yeah, so we think that the question is about the turf view, if we can detect the differences. We were seeing temperature differences about a day, 2 days earlier than we could to the naked eye if you're looking at the plots. So the question was about the accuracy of the camera over the distance from the front of the image to the back. So our pixel resolution in the image was less than a square centimeter per pixel. So it's we do have more resolution at the front than we do at the back. But I guess being that the readings were averaged over the plot area, I would say would minimize that, but that might be a concern.
Speaker.